So a few initial thoughts on that Bible passage. Last week, we reflected upon Matthew's account of Jesus' baptism, and we noted John the Baptist's reluctance was countered by Jesus' conviction that God required him at that time to identify himself in solidarity with John the Baptist's message of repentance and the imminence of the breaking in of the kingdom of God. This week's lectionary turns our attention towards the fourth gospel, where John the Baptist and all others, of course, are predominantly seen as a witness, a signpost to who Jesus is. So when John the Baptist points out Jesus as the Lamb of God to two of his disciples, he would have been neither surprised nor disappointed that they then left him and followed Jesus. From his point of view, he has done his job in identifying God's great chosen one and pointing him out to those ready to receive him. Would that we were so selfless and lacking in ego in our service to Jesus Christ. This motif of witnessing to others and bringing or pointing them to Jesus, the Word made flesh, continues throughout the fourth gospel. And so it is transferred on to Andrew, one of John the Baptist's disciples who followed Jesus. Rather than keep his discovery of the growing discernment of Jesus as the chosen one of God, rather than keep it to himself, Andrew, that most approachable and self-effacing of Jesus' disciples, goes straight from his day-long encounter with Jesus to share his discovery with his more dynamic, if rather hot-headed, brother, Simon. Andrew probably knew from long past experience that Simon would surpass him in discipleship and in leadership. We note that Jesus had a group of an inner three disciples: Simon, whom he called Cephas, Peter, the Rock, and James and John. Andrew, although he was one of the first disciples according to John's Gospel, is not part of that inner three. But knowing what he did about his brother and about his brother's undoubted gifts, for Andrew, Jesus' mission was too important to let that hold him back from sharing. It's no coincidence, friends, that so many churches are named after this self-effacing saint. My very first church in Eastleigh was called St Andrew's Methodist Church. And so many churches are named St Andrew's, because indeed Andrew is, or was, and should be the model of our discipleship. He is the one who draws others in recognising their gifts and their calling. He is the one who points them towards Jesus, the Saviour and Messiah, but who lets Jesus speak for himself rather than exercising a controlling mediation because he discovered Jesus first. He is not concerned with his own status or success or any reward or privilege. for him the privilege is to serve. And he lets go and he moves on to the next person or project to which God calls him. Andrew is not precious about his relationship with Jesus, and neither should we be. Andrew is essentially seeking to do God's will, to promote God's purposes. Andrew essentially looks outwards, conscious of the need of others to encounter Jesus, the Messiah, for themselves, to become disciples, and to spread the mission of Jesus further. He is indeed the pattern of what we as individuals and what church communities, whether or not they're called St. Andrews, he is the pattern of what we should be. It's a constant source of delight to me to hear stories from this congregation about how you perceive God to be working in your life and the encounters that you have had. And so for the next few moments, I open this service.